say. If you're afraid, then come along with me.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome, everybody, on this Monday afternoon in snowy, cold Berea. Jim Donovan in for Nathan Segura today. Happy to be with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. And great to be with Matt Wilhelm. You're always on the other end of the telephone.
I am.
I could be calling from Moscow into Cleveland Browns Daily, and you're on the other end of the telephone, so it's good to be in the studio with you. We are coming off the worst weekend of the calendar year, the first weekend without football.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and you are correct. So to be here in studio with you is a great pleasure with your great experience, and so I thoroughly enjoy it, and I get you in person now and not just the voice on the other end of a phone.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I struggled with the weekend. I really did. I mean, you're coming off an amazing Super Bowl and everything that happened there, okay, and you're coming off a bumpy week. Let's face it, for the Cleveland Browns last week, so there's a lot of directions you can go there as to what's going on here and what's going to go on here and what's going to happen here and who's going to be the quarterback and might the old quarterback come back here. All of that is out there. But the fact that there was no football to wait for, I watched the Army-Navy basketball game.
Did you?
You know why?
A lot of back cuts in that game,
A lot of layups. And a lot of made free throws.
Yes.
I mean, fundamentally sound.
Correct.
Okay, but not a lot of athletic.
No arguing with the referees, I'm sure.
Nothing, I'm telling you. But you know why I watched it? Because I love at the end of the game. They do it even in the basketball game like they do it in the great football game, the Army-Navy Classic, every December, when they go to the alma mater for both teams.
Yes.
I think that is just unbelievably cool.
It is.
And I found myself watching the Army-Navy basketball game because I had no football game to get ready for or to watch, and I watched the Army-Navy basketball game.
You're right. And I, again, being
Did
a Buckeye.
Did you ever play against any of the service academies?
I have not.
No, they
unfortunately,
played Ohio they played, State played Navy this
Navy
year.
Navy this yeah. year. And that's the one thing, again, having lived and played in San Diego with the Chargers, I built up a great appreciation
yeah.
for the military because
sure.
with
oh,
Miramar
yeah,
and, right, and the yeah. battleships and everything being so right
yeah.
there. So they're heavily involved with the Chargers, and of course the Chargers give them every opportunity to come out and be a part of us. So you grew an appreciation,
yeah.
and that's one thing you think, you know, our type of alma mater singing after a game and all
right.
those traditions that we have, they pale in comparison to what the military
does.
Is. And
yeah.
so the appreciation that I have for them, every, you know, watching them and, you know, even Texas A&M and the way those, you know, the cadets
yeah.
show up to all those, it's really something special. And I missed it. So I tuned into the Cavs all weekend.
Well, they were tune-inable. Yeah, I mean, there's no question about them. Let me just ask you this, though. Were you ever recruited by any of the service academies? Because you were at that
yes.
kind of a level and coming out of a program where the service academies would be very interested in you.
I was.
That's a big commitment.
It is a big commitment,
yeah.
and I'll just have to say and be very honest and frank, when you're getting letters from Ohio State and Notre Dame and Michigan and Northwestern and all these other great schools, and you happen to get a letter from the Marines or the Army or the Navy, and they want you to serve
yeah.
and potentially play football,
right. yeah.
they kind of unfortunately go to the bottom of the stack.
Yeah. You know who always loved the service academies and still does is Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Bill Belichick would always take a kid from the service academies. Now, he may not make the team. He may go on the practice squad. But he always had service academy kids in training camp, even when they were here, even when he was here. And, of course, that was because of his dad's long-standing relationship and career at Navy, because Bill really cut his teeth on the game at Annapolis.
And isn't it surprising that he runs a program very similar to the way a military academy
yeah,
is run?
Yeah, absolutely.
That Patriot way?
Yeah, other than the uniforms, you're right, and the haircuts.
Exactly.
Hey, our Ohio business machines, hot topics of the day. Red hot, wouldn't you say, Matt?
Yes, they are.
What are the odds you would put on Brian Hoyer returning to the Browns in 2015? Now, our telephone number on the show, 216-578-0850. So, Ohio Business Machines, hot topic number one of the day. What odds would you put on Brian Hoyer returning to the Browns in 2015? Okay. Number two would be, And I'm sure a lot of you either heard or certainly read about Brian Hoyer's appearance and his comments at the Saturday afternoon appearance at the Home and Garden Show.
Yes.
Out at the IX Center. Now, I don't know if Brian was looking for new cabinets for his kitchen or if he was looking to see if he was going to upgrade from marble to granite. But all of a sudden, he's there.
Yes.
And I mean, the media swoops in on him. And suddenly he's, you know, he's really verbalizing what, you know, we've been wondering what he's been thinking about. So as we sit back now, let's talk about, and we'll hear his comments in a couple of minutes. We're going to play the entire segment from the IX Center and when he met with the media on Saturday. We're going to do that at about 1:15 in case, you know, you haven't heard enough of it. But, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I was on the field with him before the last game against the Baltimore Ravens, and I thought there was no chance in the world he would ever come back to the Browns. And I know it weighed on him because of the local factor. Okay, but I just felt that from listening to him that, you know, he wasn't happy with the way the season ended, the way that he was taken out of the lineup. And then I think he felt like he was going to get a lot of interest from a lot of teams around the NFL. That might be the case. But then as the weeks have gone on, and what I listened to him say was that he kind of, as he reflects back on the year and separates four or five weeks from it, he kind of understands maybe why he was taken out near the end of the year.
I agree with that. And
you
that's
in a conciliatory way.
It is. And I think also, too, what he has, he's faced a vast reality in the fact that this is a down market in free agency, that Brian Hoyer is one of the top guys in free agency. And again,
yeah, if you look at the list of Matt Flynn and Matt Schaub and Matt, you know, Moore, the guy, you know, that's been down in Miami, and Sanchez and all of these guys, you'd have to say Brian Hoyer goes to the top of the class.
He definitely does. And all that being said, Jim, he hasn't started one full season in the National Football League, but yet he's at the top of that list. And a lot of it has to do with why Cleveland Browns fans want him back, because he wins football games. But I think when it comes to building this organization, where I walk the fine line is he a fix at the quarterback position, or is he a Band-Aid at the quarterback position here in Cleveland? And that's the one thing that we'll hear from his comments, you know, where he lies on, you know, some of the dysfunction and some of, you know, the surrounding last, you know, month and a half that has happened here in Cleveland in regards to the offensive side of the football.
Well, and he also then admitted that he was startled by Kyle Shanahan leaving, and I'm paraphrasing. We'll hear more from him and directly from him. And what happened, as I said, at 1:15. And he's also paying attention to what's going to happen in the ongoing situation with the texting from the sideline, or the alleged texting that was coming from above or somewhere from the sideline down to the sideline during the games. And he's interested in looking at that, too. But, you know, that's the situation with Brian Hoyer. The fact of the matter is that he is still out there talking a great deal, which tells me that either the hometown situation pulls and tugs at his heartstrings, or that you're right that he played here, he won here, he knows this better than he would know a Tennessee or a Buffalo or any of those possible other sites that he would go to. He's kind of a known commodity here.
He definitely is. And I think also, too, is having seen the market and maybe his agent working through some back channels, understanding the money that might be available to Brian Hoyer, they're now speaking in their own personal tongue that coming back to Cleveland and maybe changing their tune from when you spoke to him in Week 17, changing his tune about coming back, because Cleveland may in fact be the best opportunity for him to make a significant amount of money at the quarterback position this year and maybe for the next few years.
To your point, and it's a really good one, and this is the one that is dead on, okay, and that is he a Band-Aid at the quarterback position, or is he the quarterback?
Right.
You know, is he the guy that you're going to say, okay, now you may have to wait for Johnny Manziel because of what's going on in his life. Certainly much more important than what's going on in his life now than his football life.
Yes.
But you may have to wait for him, and in the meantime, you need a quarterback. So do you look in a different light now? Because I think even last year, Matt, I would think that we kind of looked at Brian as a guy that might be keeping the seat warm. I don't think Brian looked at it that way.
No.
But I think most people kind of looked at it that way when you picked a guy in the first round in Manziel.
You're absolutely right. And I think in most cases, you know, even throughout my career, the difference between a starter and a backup in the National Football League is significant, which is why there's always a drop-off in production from a starter to a backup. And I just think as Nathan and I, for, you know, both during the season and since the season has happened and we evaluated each position, you know, you look at where you would rank Brian Hoyer as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And if he's in that if he's in fact in that bottom third very rarely makes the push to the playoffs. And if this organization with Jimmy Haslam at the helm and Ray Farmer drafting and Coach Mike Pettine, they've said they want to win and they want to win now, that if that is their mission, they need to go get a guy that can get into that top half who can win enough football games to become that top third type of quarterback in the next 3 to 5 years to live out their aspirations of hosting playoff games, playing in playoff games, and competing for a Super Bowl. And I just don't think, you know, if you're in fact going to put Brian Hoyer in that bottom third, that he's your guy to help make it happen, at least in the next 2 or 3 years.
So might he then have gotten them to as far as he could take them?
Yes.
You know, it's seven wins.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, also, too, when you look at it, I think that, you know, the Colts' performance was a wasted performance. And then also, you came back and
I'm
won.
I'm going to bring up a point to you. Yeah. Go ahead, though.
No,
Finish your thought.
Think also, too, is, you know, he, in fact, maybe the offense didn't play well enough, but then they come back and win the Tennessee game. So those might be a wash in some case. So there's a win and there's a loss. But then almost losing the Atlanta football game, but making those three throws. Yeah. That wins the football game.
What, 35 seconds?
And then when you look at you know, the NFL as a full spectrum, and this was a down year for the opponents that we play, and there's a significant step this coming season, and you look at Brian Hoyer's body of work last year against subpar opponents and who we're going to play this year, that if that same Brian Hoyer goes out and does what he did this year, we're going to be back where we were in a 4, 5, 6-win football season, which is a regression for the organization.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this, okay? And that is, here's what I think, okay? He got them to a point, okay? And I have to tell you, that when we walked out of Cincinnati that night and he had played so well, okay, I thought, wow, this is a breakthrough game for the organization, for the fan base, and for Brian Hoyer. Okay, then when they came back after that break, because they had an elongated week because they didn't have the game that Sunday because they played on Thursday, and that Houston game troubled me.
Yep.
Okay, the fact that they threw the ball 50 times, he didn't throw it well. There were a lot of bizarre misses in that game. Think about this, though. He's a couple of first downs away from you and I not having this conversation at all.
You're absolutely right.
Baltimore game here early in the year. At one point, I think, Matt, he completed 14 passes in a row at one stretch in that game. He's a first down away from icing that game,
you're right.
And they didn't get it. He missed Hawkins twice, or maybe Hawkins missed him once, and he missed Hawkins the other time. And the Indianapolis game. They are basically a first down away from maybe putting that game in the freezer.
You're right.
And winning the game.
Or even that red zone interception. They put points on the board there.
You right, know, early in the game. Right.
Early
yeah.
in the game. That's the difference in the football game, too. So you're absolutely right. And like I said, is when you look at the full spectrum of Brian Hoyer, he wins football games. And what Nathan and I do from an objective perspective is you dig into the stats, you know, barely 50% passing rate.
Yeah.
The way in which he threw the ball to the other team as opposed to our team late in the football season, which is when we needed him most to make that push, is hard to wrap our head around.
Okay. 55% completion, 12 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That category, the interception, skyrocketed near the end of the year. We have a caller. Okay, we're going to go to Dino the Trucker. Okay, Dino the Trucker, come on in. How are you?
Hey, Jim, how you doing? Nice to talk to you.
It's so great to be here with Matt Wilhelm today, and I'll be here tomorrow, too. I sound like I'm a comedian down at Hilarities. I'll be here today and tomorrow, and then next week I'll be in Piscataway. Go ahead, Dino.
Hey, you know what, Matt, with your comment about Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
I respectfully, you know, I really disagree with a lot you have to say about Brian's ability. He really is a leader on that squad. I mean, if you see after Alex Mack injury, there's no depth in that offensive line. I mean, the running game was non-existent after that. They really didn't have nothing to fall back on. I mean, and I think that made Brian press his passes a lot. He wasn't in rhythm. You know, usually Brian, last year he had between 3 and 4 seconds. He'd throw the ball. He'd see a target, throw the ball, it's out. And he was doing that in the beginning of the year. After Alex Mack.
Yeah, but, you know, they won some games after Alex Mack. Okay, they won down in Cincinnati without Alex Mack.
They did.
They won in Atlanta without Alex Mack. They won some of those games, right, after that?
They absolutely did, and they were able to run the football without Alex Mack.
And here's the other thing. Then you got to get in rhythm. You know, you're the quarterback in an NFL. Then you got to get in rhythm.
And that's the one point that we also – that Nathan and I kind of and me personally, I weigh my hat on is – those guys in that top third at the quarterback position,
right.
Those guys that are paid $15-plus million dollars a year are the ones that can take over a game and make all the throws and go 14 for 14 in multiple games if they need be to win a football game and close it out. And that's that missing perspective that I think Brian Hoyer doesn't have yet, and I think is in a big judgment decision right now for the Cleveland Browns is can they – compete in their division, and especially with the schedule getting harder next year, with that guy that can't win a football game unless there's the perfect, you know, the running game is working and the offensive line is protecting. You know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, these guys, they get knocked on their butt, but then they'll make the throw. They're not mentally and emotionally, you know, affected by that.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You're right when you know, that Jacksonville game bothered me. Going down there and losing.
That's tough.
I know you walked into a situation where you were walking in to a team that hadn't won. They were winless at the time. You're playing against Blake Bortles, but you had an opportunity early in that game to definitely bury them.
You did, and we would have went 5 for 5 in that
right.
easy
in that
stretch
east,
of football
that underbelly,
games.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're right. Hey, we're going to take a timeout. Good
sure.
start, Matt.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you ticked off Dino the Trucker, and I say we're off and running.
We are.
We're ready to go here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. When we come back, we're going to visit with Brian Hoyer at the Home and Garden Show. We'll play his comments from his meeting with the media at the show at the IX Center last Saturday. We'll do that right after a timeout.